Open your Bibles this morning to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. When I was a kid, I grew up in Philadelphia, kind of a tough area. You know, everybody wants to show how tough they are when they're a kid, when they're a teenager, you know. And back then, if somebody started to challenge you or whatever, you'd say something like, "Don't mess with me," or something like that, or "You know who you're messing with." And sometimes we'd say, "Bring it on." All right, bring it on. Well, nowadays they've kind of shortened that, and the phrase nowadays is, "Bring it." Anybody ever heard that? They'll say, "Bring it," you know. Just bring it, you know. Sometimes athletes, they'll be talking back and forth about the big game tomorrow, and this will be on the news, you know, and some athlete will say, "Yeah, well, we think we can take them," and some other athlete will overhear that and will say, "Oh yeah, bring it," right? Bring it. Maybe some of you have worked a project, worked at a job where the boss has approached you about a tough project, and he wants to know, kind of feeling you out, are you ready to take something like this on? Perhaps you could look at the boss and say, "You know what, boss? Bring it. Bring it. I'm ready for this. I'm ready to bring it," you know. Well, I found a verse in Malachi where God says, "Bring it. Bring it," okay? Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse number 6 and read down through just a little bit. Malachi chapter 3, beginning in verse 6. "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. For even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, Wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." Let's pray together. Father, I ask that you would help us to understand what you've said in this passage and in many other places in Scripture, and that we would obey you when you say to bring it. I pray that we'll take this seriously, and that you'll help me to present it in the way that it ought to be presented from your word. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, verse number 10 is one of our 22 transforming truths. And we're coming down near the end of these. This is the 21st of the 22. And so we've only got one left after this. And sometime the Lord will probably allow me to preach on that last one. But I made some of the brochures, and these are on the back table, all 22 of these precious Bible passages that a lot of us memorized last March. Maybe you didn't memorize all of them, but you memorized a couple of them. And so I encourage you to pick up one of these brochures if you don't have one and meditate upon these 22 transforming truths. Of course, all of God's Word is transforming. Amen? But we picked out 22 very special ones. You say, "Well, preacher, why did you save this one till almost the very end?" Well, it's verse number 10. Look down there. Let's go ahead and say it together. It's also up on the screen if you need it. Malachi 3:10. Ready? We'll say the reference, verse, and reference. Here we go. Malachi 3:10. "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Malachi 3:10. Well, I saved this one down near the end Because people are kind of touchy about preachers talking about money. How many of you know that's true? Okay, not that you're touchy, but people are kind of touchy about it. I've had people say, you know, I went and I visited that church, and the first time I was there, the preacher talked about money. All they do is talk about money. Money, 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 money. They want money, you know. And so as a preacher, I'm kind of sensitive to that. And I thought, you know, what if we have some guests here today and it's their first time and I talk about money? And I said, well, Lord, you got to lead me. You got to show me when it's the right time to talk about money. George has been having coughing fits. He's not offended about money. He's been having some coughing fits, so we're praying for him. He said, I might not be able to make it through, preacher. I said, all right, well, thanks for coming. See how long he can stay. But anyway, you know what? That's not people's fault out there that they're touchy about it. You know whose fault it is? It's some preacher's fault. Because there are some preachers who really, they're all about the money. They really are. I mean, they're focused on it. They talk about it. Some of the TV preachers are constantly on there. Hey, give me some more money. Send me some more. You know, somebody told me just the other day that they got something in the mail that said that if they sent a certain amount of money, a couple hundred dollars, they could be healed from this certain thing that they were battling. Well, you know, that's why people are uneasy when preachers start talking about money. So I understand that. And I want to be sensitive to that today. 1 Timothy 3:3 says that those kind of preachers shouldn't even be pastors. Because 1 Timothy 3:3 says one of the qualifications for a pastor is not greedy for filthy lucre. And lucre means money. So in other words, not in it for the money. And I don't want to be one of those pastors that's all about the money, all right? My wife will tell you, she'll say, how was the offering this week? And I'll say, I haven't looked at the report yet. And sometimes it's Thursday or Friday. Sometimes it's not till I have to do the church bulletin on Saturday and put the report in the bulletin that I actually look at what the offering was last week. Because to tell you the truth, I'm just trusting the Lord. Whatever the offering was last Sunday, that's what it was. Okay, the Lord's going to build His church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So if you know me, you know I'm not all about the money. However, there's another part in the Bible, Acts chapter 20, verse 27, where the Apostle Paul says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Paul was talking to the people who are from the church of Ephesus, and he said, look, you know, I have not held back, I have not shunned to tell you the whole counsel of God. In other words, everything you need to know from the Scriptures, you know I've shared it with you. And that's what Paul could say. Listen, he is a model for us preachers. We want to stand before the Lord someday and give account for how we've taught and preached at our churches. And someday we're going to stand before the Lord and we want to be able to say, Lord, you know I did my best to give them the whole counsel of God. Everything that you've told us in the Bible. Obviously, we're never going to be able to preach everything in the Bible. It's an inexhaustible book. But how many of you know that the Bible has a lot to say about money? How do you know it? Okay? And it's not just about giving money to church. There's principles about how to work your own personal finances and how to be responsible and how to pay your debts and all these things. There are men who God has taught and gifted who actually go around and do financial seminars from the Bible. And you can have a week-long seminar about all the different things that the Bible says about finances and how to have God's help in your family finances and all those things. And those guys, as they go around, they'll always say, rule number one, make sure you honor God with your tithe. That's what they'll say. And why do they say that? Well, it's based on this verse, Malachi 3:10, as well as some others. So let's look at it again, and let's talk about this concept of bring it. All right, just bring it. Yeah, bring it. Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now that's what God says. First of all, what to bring? What to bring? And here it is, the tithe. The tithe. The word tithe means tenth. Tenth. And so when we understand this word tithe, we understand it to mean one-tenth, or sometimes we say 10%. So he says, well, Pastor, that's Old Testament, you know. It's not just Old Testament, all right? Keep your finger here, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. You see, they were taking up offerings here at the church at Corinth, and they were taking up offerings to help support the work of the Lord and to take care of some of the needy believers in Jerusalem and to help local missions, you could call it, as well. But notice in verse 2, it says that they were to take it up on the first day of the week. How many know the first day of the week is Sunday? All right. So on the first day of the week, they were to take up this collection. And it says that they were to give as God hath prospered them. Now that phrase, as God hath prospered, that means if God prospered them a little bit that week, they ought to give a little. If God prospered them medium that week, they ought to give a medium amount. And if God prospered them a lot, they ought to give more. Doesn't that sound like a percentage to you? Okay. You know, if I got a small amount of income this week, then I'm going to give God a small portion of that. If I got a medium amount, I'll give as God hath prospered me, a little bit more. If I got a lot this week, come in, I'm going to give God a lot, as God hath prospered me. You get the idea of percent. Now, what percentage did they give? The truth, I don't know what percent the Corinthians gave. And as I search my Bible and say, Lord, what would you... Obviously, it's as you've prospered me. So there's some kind of percentage in mind here, Lord. What percentage would you like me to do, Lord? And then I read about the tithe. And I think, okay, God, if they gave as God hath prospered in the New Testament, then I ought to give as God hath prospered me. And perhaps, Lord, you'd be pleased if I had a tithe. Am I okay on the battery here? It's cutting out. All right, you let me know. As God hath prospered him. You know, Old Testament Israel, well, the tithe is Old Testament. If you study the tithes in the Old Testament, the Israelites were actually commanded to give three tithes. Three 10%. They actually gave 30%. Okay, three tithes they were actually commanded to give. Well, you get to the New Testament, and what does God say in the New Testament? Does 10% belong to him? Does 30% belong to him? Actually, when you get to the New Testament, you know what we find out? God says 100% belongs to him. He says, you give yourself as a living sacrifice. I've told that story before about the man who, during a special offering, just set the plate on the ground and he stepped inside and he said, I'm just going to give myself. He stepped inside the offering, but I'm just going to give myself. And, you know, really everything I have, everything I own, when you study the New Testament, it all belongs to God. That car that I drive is not my car. That's God's car. He's just entrusted it to me to use for His honor and for His glory. And so everything I have belongs to Him. Sometimes we talk about my house. Well, it's not really my house. It's God's house. He entrusted it to me, gave it to me for my family to live in and take care of and also to use for His glory. And if I can use it in any way to honor Him and reach people with the gospel, that's what I ought to do. Because it's not mine. It's His. It all belongs to Him. And so when I look at a paycheck or a checking account or a bank account, the truth is, God, it's all You show me how you want me to use it. You show me how I ought to make use of the money that you've entrusted me with, because, Lord, it all belongs to you. You know what that makes me? A steward. A steward. Are you familiar with that word, steward? 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. A steward is somebody who takes care of belongings that actually belong to somebody else. And that's what I'm doing. I'm taking care of finances, possessions, and things that actually belong to God, but He has entrusted them to me as His steward. So I have to be faithful to use those things in the way that God would have me to use them. Well, let's get some wisdom about this. Let's go to the book of wisdom, Proverbs. We're going to come back to Malachi, so keep your finger there. But let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. It's right after the book of Psalms. Proverbs chapter 3, go down to verse number 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. See, sometimes we get wise in our own eyes. We start thinking, you know what? I know. I can figure this out. I know what I should do financially. And we think we got it figured out. Look at verse 8. If you'll fear the Lord, depart from evil. Verse 8, it'll be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. If you focus in on the middle of this passage, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. What that tells me is, as I get increase, as I get a paycheck, or as I get some other types of increase, where the Lord is blessing me and entrusting me with more, I need to honor the Lord with my substance, especially with the first fruits of my increase. When the Israelites had increase, it was often harvest. It was crops. And they would take the first fruits, the very first things that they harvested, and they'd say, this is set aside for God. In the same way, when we receive increase, I believe it's pleasing to God and right for a believer to say, Lord, I'm going to take the first fruits of this increase. I'm going to take the first portion. The first portion is going to be yours. Now, what I've done throughout my life, once I learned this, I learned it when I was a kid. But whenever I'd get some money as a kid, I'd get birthday money. And pretty soon I grew up, I started working, I got a paycheck. And when I would get that money, I would look and say, Lord, you're going to get the first part. And so I'd take 10% of that first part, plus a little more just to show the Lord I loved Him. And I'd say, that's going to be my offering for the church this week, for the work of the Lord. I'm going to give it back to God to be used for the work of the Lord at His church. And I would give my tithe plus a little more. But you know, this idea of first fruits, I decided, you know what, I'm not going to pay the government first and then take my tithe. I'm not going to say, well, you know, the government took out all this money, so really I only got this much, so I'm just going to tithe that much. Well, I said, no, because then it's like the government got the first percentage. They got the first fruits. No, God, you get the first fruits. So I've always tithed off what they call that, your gross income, right, rather than your net income. So I've always done it that way because I said, Lord, I want to do it as your first fruits. The first fruits, that's what I give to you. Pastor, you're in the Old Testament again. You're in Proverbs. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to throw out the whole Old Testament and say, you know, I don't believe the Old Testament. You know, those principles don't apply to me. That's crazy. It's crazy for a number of reasons. Number one, God doesn't change. God doesn't change. You still got your finger in Malachi? Go back there. Look at chapter 3, verse 6. Right before he talks about bringing tithes, he says in verse 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. And it was a good thing for them because he said, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. See, he had made a promise to Israel that they were going to be his people and they were going to have a promised seed and the Messiah was going to come from them. And he says, you guys have been so wicked that I should have just consumed you. You know, sent a fire to judge you or something and just, you should have been consumed. But because I don't change, God says, that's why you're not consumed. Because I made a promise to you and I'm going to keep it. Aren't you glad God is faithful to keep his promises? But right after he says he's a God that doesn't change, he goes on and included in our Bibles the idea to bring the tithes into the storehouse. It's repeated in the New Testament that God doesn't change. Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And the same God that told them to bring the tithes has not changed today. He is still the same. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Everything I have and everything you have is a gift from God. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That means God doesn't change. God doesn't change. He's the same God now as he was back in the days of Malachi. Look at verse 7, Malachi 3:7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances. He said, look, you Israelites, you have stopped doing the things I've told you to do. It started with the generation before you. Your fathers went away from it, and now you're away from it as well. Ye have not kept them. Then he says this, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Don't you like that? You know, if there's something between you and God right now, the only thing that keeps that from going away is you. Because he says, if you return to me, then I'll return to you. In other words, the ball is in your court. That's New Testament as well. Draw nigh to God, James 4:8, and he will draw nigh to you. Okay, he says, look, it's your responsibility. If we need revival, guess whose fault it is if we're not having revival? Our fault. Because if our hearts want to be revived, all we have to do is draw nigh to God. Return unto me, he says, and I will return unto you. And then the end of verse 7. But ye said, wherein shall we return? So God says to them, return to me. And they say, how, Lord? Wherein means in what way? In what way should we return to you, Lord? We think everything's okay. We think we're with you. We think we're doing what you want us to do. How do we return unto you? Verse 8, he says, here's his answer. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. And then they answer and they say, wherein have we robbed thee? He said, Lord, we didn't rob you. How do we rob you? And then he said, in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. He said, see, God kept track. He knew the Israelites who were not being faithful to give the tithe, but then he also says they robbed him in offerings. Okay, not only the 10%, but even above that, their offerings. They were withholding from God the things that God wanted them to bring. And he called it robbing God. Think about that. I mean, it'd be bad if I went up to Carlos and kind of tapped him on the shoulder and used my sly pickpocket abilities to slip his wallet out of his back pocket, you know, and opened it up and pulled out a few hundred. Oh, this is Carlos. Pulled out a few 20. No, this is Carlos. Pulled out a few fives, a few ones, a few George Washingtons out of there, you know, and then tap him on the shoulder and slip it back in again. That'd be pretty bad if I robbed Carlos. Think about robbing God. And he says that these people robbed him because they did not bring the tithes. So what to bring? A tithe and an offering. Where to bring it? Look again at verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. You see, the tithes were given at God's house. And I believe that's the way it ought to be today. We ought to bring the tithes to God's house. Today, the local church is God's organism to accomplish His purpose in the world. Some degrade this concept. They call it storehouse tithing. Do you believe in storehouse tithing? Well, that's kind of what the Bible says right there. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Don't degrade storehouse tithing. It's a good thing. Watch. That doesn't mean other ministries don't get supported, but it means you support other ministries through your local church. There are a lot of benefits to that. Let me just mention two of them. First of all, accountability to the local congregation for the finances. You see, let's say that the Lord leads the people of our church to support a certain ministry that's not a part of our church. And so we want to support them financially. Well, guess what? That organization then is accountable to our church for how they use the funds. Now, if you just mail off some funds to that organization, you don't know what they're doing with it. They could be using it to buy a bigger house for the guy. He's already got a mansion, but now he's going to add the Olympic-sized swimming pool. Okay? And you don't know what's happening with that money. If you give to the Red Cross, well, amen. Red Cross, there's a good organization, right? Well, you don't know what there's other things they're supporting. You don't know how much of that dollar is going to be used, you know, to pay administrative salaries. And, you know, you might have to pay some administrative salary, but see, you don't know. But if you support an organization through your church, then that organization has to answer to the church for how they keep track of it, for how they use those finances. And, you know, they don't mind if you find out they misused it and you withdraw your donation because you're just one person. But they're concerned when a church withdraws their support. And so there's accountability to the local congregation for the finances. And then second benefit is there's reliability of those supported in the ministry. Hey, you are a busy person. You don't have time to check out this group and that group and the other group and see, are they, you know, using the money right? Are they worthy of support? You know, when you give through a local church, you can say, you know what? The church has checked them out. The leadership of the church has checked out this group. They believe that this group is worthy of support and they're using the money wisely in a good way for the cause of the Lord. And so you can give with confidence knowing that there's reliability in that ministry being supported. So I've always, before I was a pastor, I said, Lord, I'm going to give my donations through my local church. And if I think there's another group that ought to be supported, I'm going to talk to the pastor about it. Say, hey, what do you think about this group? I feel like the Lord's really burdening me to support this group. Can I do it through my church? And the pastor will check it out. Deacons will check it out. If it's a good ministry, we'll probably tell you you can if the Lord's leading you to. If it's not a good ministry, we'll caution you. We'll tell you our concern. And the Lord can lead you that way as a part of your church to know how best to use your money. So where to bring it? The storehouse. Number three, this verse tells us why to bring it. And it's kind of interesting. Why should we bring it? It says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. Okay, God's house back then was the tabernacle and then the temple. And there in the temple, there were priests who lived there and served in the temple. And the priests weren't given land to farm for themselves. They were supposed to live off the tithes and offerings of God's people. And so when they brought their first fruits to the house, to the storehouse, that was food for the priests. So that's why it says that there may be meat in mine house. Well, how does this apply today? Number one, God doesn't need your money. And He doesn't need my money. So a preacher shouldn't get up here and twist your arm and say, come on, why don't you get... I heard this week about a preacher who went by an older person's house and tried to talk them into selling their motorhome and giving the money to the church. I say, shame on that preacher. If that really happened, you never know, you know, when you hear these stories, you never really know. But if that really happened, shame on them. Now, can the Lord lay on somebody's heart to sell their motorhome and give the money to the church? Sure. But I want it to be the Lord laying it on somebody's heart, not me twisting their arm. Okay? Because the Lord's going to take care of it. God doesn't need your money. But read this verse. It says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Apparently, there was a shortage at God's house. So while we can say that God doesn't need your money, we can also say that the work of God does. The work of God does. That there may be meat in mine house. One of the reasons why we ought to bring it is because God has set it up so that that's the way the work of the Lord gets supported, through the tithes and offerings of God's people. Now here's the neat thing. No matter how big your church is, no matter how small your church is, if God's people are led of the Holy Spirit, they give their tithe, and then they give whatever the Lord tells them above that tithe, I really believe all the needs, everything that God wants that church to do, they're going to be able to do it. They're going to be able to do it. If God wants them to spend some money for a certain ministry, well, if God's people are obedient to the Spirit of God, they're given their tithe, and they're given above their tithe whatever God tells them to give, then there's going to be the right amount of money for that church to accomplish the task that God gave them to do. Does that make sense? And so if there's a burden for a certain ministry, a burden to do a certain thing through our church, and there's not enough money, then the question might be, are we all doing what God wants us to do? Does that make sense? Because God's going to meet the needs of His church through His people. That's why, you know, we're not big on fundraisers. You know, if we wanted to make a cookbook sometime, so we all have shared recipes, you know, I guess that'd be okay. But, you know, a lot of times churches will do stuff like that, trying to raise funds, you know, and I'm not really against the youth group, you know, raising some funds for a project or whatever. But we gotta be careful because the Lord meets the needs of His church through the gifts of His people, and He lays it on their heart. So, that there may be meat in mine house. Another reason is in this verse. He says, and prove me now herewith. In other words, God says, prove me, show how great I really am herewith. The word herewith means with this. By your tithes and offerings, you have an opportunity to prove how great God is. Now, if you tithe and you give offerings, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you look at that paycheck and when you get ready to write that check for the tithe or for the offering, it kind of hurts a little bit. You're thinking, man, Lord, you know things are tight right now. And somebody has said, I don't think I can afford to tithe. Somebody else is wisely quipped, I can't afford not to tithe. Because if I don't honor God, then what's going to happen? But here's the positive side. God says, prove me now herewith. You say, okay, Lord, I don't know how the bills are going to get paid. I don't know how it's going to get taken care of, but you said to do it. You said to give you my first fruits according as you prospered me. So here I go, Lord. I'm going to give you my first fruits. I'm going to write that check and just trust you. And guess what? God says, that's going to prove me. That word prove can almost mean put to the test. It's almost like, okay, God, I'm just going to trust you, do what you say. You promised to meet my needs, so you're going to have to come through, Lord, for me and my family. And then God does. Amen? Amen? How many can testify that when you did what God wanted you to do financially, that God came through for you? We just heard a testimony this morning. Somebody said, you know what, I didn't realize my gas tank was leaking and could catch on fire, and my teenage driver could have been killed, but God let us find out about it. Sometimes God provides for you by giving you unexpected funds. Sometimes He provides for you by letting you find out about something and get it taken care of before it gets more expensive. You know what I mean? Sometimes He keeps the washing machine running for a couple more years. He keeps the pipes from leaking for a couple more years. He keeps the roof from leaking for a couple more years. Why? Look at verse 11, right after this verse. He says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he will not destroy the fruits of your ground. See, these people, their livelihood was their crops. And sometimes there'd be a pestilence, or, you know, the grasshoppers would come in and devour the crops. And God says, look, if you'll honor me, I'll rebuke the devourer. Some of that bad stuff that normally happens is not going to happen to you because you're putting me first. Now, if you go home today and the dishwasher's leaking or something, don't think that God's judging you necessarily. But the truth is that God will rebuke the devourer, and the car will last a little longer, and the finances will go a little further, and the coupons you need will be easily acquired, and God will stretch those dollars for you because he will rebuke the devourer so that he will not come into our houses. So it's a wonderful thing. So prove me for God's honor. And then one more reason. Why bring it? For God's house, for God's honor, and for God's help. For God's help. Look at the end of the verse. He says, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God says, listen, if you'll put me first, if you'll honor me with your gifts, with your tithes and offerings, it's almost like God's going to open the windows of heaven and just start pouring the blessings down. Now, those blessings aren't always financial. Okay, it's not like if I give 10, God will give me back 20. Sometimes he does. It's not always that way. Sometimes it's blessings in other ways, but I'm telling you what, you're going to be so content. One preacher said this is kind of like trying to take a drink out of the fire hydrant. You know, they open up the fire hydrant to make sure the water's going to come out and test it, you know, and you put your mouth in front, you're like, you know, and that's it. God will pour you out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Turn to Luke chapter 6. I want you to see this in the New Testament as well. Luke chapter 6. Verse 38, some of the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't think it was just for the Old Testament. He said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Verse 38, Luke 6, 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. The other day I went to one of those places, kind of like a Circle K. But I like this one better than Circle K because they have those frozen root beer. I like root beer because it's caffeine-free, and I got some problems when I do too much caffeine. And so I go over, and I love to get this frozen root beer. So I'll get one of those big cups, and this place has styrofoam cups so it doesn't melt. And I'll put that in there, and I'll dispense that frozen root beer into there. And then, you know, it's got that frozen stuff has a lot of air in it, you know. So I always take it, and I just kind of tap it. I just kind of tap it on the bottom, and it'll go down, you know, maybe a half inch or so, kind of tap it down a little bit so I can put some more in. And then this place has that curved lid. Did you ever see those round, spherical, half-sphere lids? And so I'll snap the lid on, and it's got a hole in the top of the lid, and then I'll put the lid up to the dispenser, and I'll put some more in, you know. So I'm over the top of the edge of the cup, you know, I'm all the way up. And then as you go up to the counter, it's kind of warming up a little and expanding, and so it starts coming out the top. And that's what I think about. I think about this verse. God says, look, if you'll give to me, it'll be pressed down and shaken together, and then running over shall men give into your bosom. And, you know, that means they'll just into your bosom kind of means to me the deep inward part of you. It's not always financial blessing. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's just the blessing of knowing God's taking care of me. I don't have anything to worry about. Sometimes it's the blessing, physical blessings that he gives. Sometimes just that the spiritual closeness. Sometimes it's the blessing of having things go well in your life and just having good friends and spiritual friends. But God will bless you in such a way give and it shall be given unto you. And then at the end of verse 38, it says, for with the same measure that ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. You know why pastors like me preach on money every once in a while? It's been actually a couple of years since I preached a whole message on this. But you know why? Because we love you. Because we want to see God's best in your life. It's not because we want money for the church or, oh man, the budget must be tight. Preacher's preaching on money again. No, it's because this promise from God means that God's best and God's blessing for your life is what He wants to give you. And that's what every good pastor wants for his people. And so I don't talk to you about money today because we need more. No, I talk to you about money because God wants to bless your life. Now, it doesn't mean you'll never have lean times. Paul said in Philippians 4, he said, I know both how to abound and how to suffer need. The Apostle Paul suffered some need. I thought God's going to supply all our needs. Yeah, He'll supply. But sometimes we suffer need because He uses it to build us spiritually and to draw us close and to test us and put us through some things that will make us stronger. But Paul said, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. The Apostle Paul went hungry sometimes, both to abound and to suffer need. So I'm not preaching the prosperity gospel. You know, you give and you'll never lack again. No, if the Apostle Paul suffered need, then we might as well. If he went hungry, we might as well. But right after that, Paul said this, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So, in other words, I can make it through. I can make it through because I'm going to have the blessing of God overflowing my life, even in times of financial need. We'll be overflowing with blessing. Now, God has some promises we can claim financially. Psalm 37:25, I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Okay, we have that promise. God will take care of us. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Hey, if we're generous with people, and we're generous even in our lean times, we're going to have it come back to us. Cast thy bread upon the waters, thou shalt find it in many days. Ecclesiastes 11:1. And then this verse, Luke 6:38, with the same measure that ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. In other words, you take that little scoop, and you scoop it in, and you give that to the Lord or some needy cause. With that same size scoop, the same measure that ye meet, it shall be measured to you. If you say, you know what? Lord's increasing my faith. I'm going to get rid of this scoop. I'm going to get me a garden shovel. Okay, here we go, garden shovel. And with the same measure that ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. You know what? Been using this garden shovel for a while, and sure enough, God's meeting my needs. He's increasing my faith. Time to upgrade this to a snow shovel. We don't have those down here. It's Florida. Snow shovel, here we go. You know, boy, Lord, the same measure that I meet, it's going to be measured back to me. I'm trusting you, Lord. And then God does it. You say, you know what? Time to buy a front end loader. Because the same measure that we meet shall be met. Now the Lord increases your faith. So where do you start? You start with the tithe and then a little bit more like an offering. Somebody told me that when I was a kid. I am so glad I learned this truth because I want to testify it's been a transforming truth in my life. It's been a transforming truth to the point where now it's not a struggle. I know, oh Lord, I don't know if I want to give the tithe or not. Now it's like, man, Lord, I can't wait. Wow, I just got some extra income. Wasn't expecting this. Can't wait to tithe this. Boy, that's going to mean I can give more to the Lord. This is great because it gets exciting when you give to the Lord and you see Him bless. And it's a transforming truth. It'll transform your life. A lot of us know people who need their lives transformed financially. Sometimes we feel like we need it. The answer isn't to give less. A lot of times the answer is to just step out in faith and say, Lord, I'm going to give more. And again, I'm not saying that because I want money for the church. I'm saying that because I want God's blessing on your life. It's a transforming truth. Let it transform yours as well. Let's say it again together. Ready? Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Malachi 3:10. What to bring? The tithe. Where to bring it? The storehouse. Why to bring it? So there'll be meat in his house. It'll be for God's honor, and it'll be for God's help in your own life. Let's pray together.
We'd like to thank you for listening today. If the Lord has especially touched your heart, or you've made a decision for Christ, or perhaps you just have some questions you'd like to ask, please go to our website, www.bethelbc.info, and under the main menu, click on the word contact. Again, the website is www.bethelbc.info.